for those looking to live outside the box of religious performance and inside the love of an awesome Father, this is The God Journey. Well, I'm Wayne Jacobson, and I want to welcome you to this edition of The God Journey. It's a special edition because I'm all alone in here. Now, that's not unusual for me. I often talk to myself. If you pass me in a car or see me on a walk somewhere, you're going to probably see my lips moving. I do a lot of talking, sometimes to myself, sometimes to God. I process my thoughts by talking out loud, so it's not all that unusual for me. It's just unusual to let somebody listen in while I'm talking to myself. But the reason I'm alone today is because there's some things I want to share with you as we kind of take a break here from a regular weekly podcast that we've been doing for some time and been excited to be part of so many wonderful conversations, and the feedback we've had with so many of you over the years has been fabulous. And I suspect we're going to get back to this somewhat soon. I don't think this is going to be a long break, but I just didn't want you wondering why is a new podcast isn't showing up in my iPod or iPhone for a while. Because I'm not going to feel any obligation to put on a new podcast here for the next couple of weeks and maybe even longer. For you junkies out there, there's plenty of old podcasts to listen to, almost 400 of them. They're archived by year. If you want to download a year at a time into your podcast, there's a link for that. They're listenable by topic, by guest, or even just work through the archive and hear the dates. Lots of ways to hear them in the archive. Encourage you, if you need a God Journey fix in the time that we're going to be off air, please feel free to comb back to the archives. Lots of fun stuff back there. Also, I continue to meet people who ask me when I'm going to write another book. And I'll say, well, did you read some of the ones that came out last year? And people go, you did a book last year. And so for those of you that don't know, two books I was a part of last year. One was a team of us, an artist who had been painting scenes from the life of Jesus for the last 14 years of his life. And Brad and I wrote some words to go with those paintings, a book called A Man Like No Other. And if you're needing some time to just sort out who Jesus is without all the religious crud that we've attached to him over 2,000 years, just trying to get back to the simple man that he was, God in the flesh, living among us, accomplishing the purpose of God to redeem us. And if you haven't had a chance to read that yet, you can pick that up. Also a book I did, a repackaging of my Vineyard material called In Season, and it actually helps people understand that transformation is a process. It's not a product. When Jesus said, or when Scripture says, be holy for I am holy, didn't mean tomorrow, be holy. It means in the process of our engagement with him, he transforms us. And like a vine becoming fruitful, which is the whole John 15 analogy, he makes us fruitful and fulfilled in his life. And if you don't know about that book, it's also available. But that's not what this podcast is about. That's just some things to do if you get bored while we're gone. But hopefully you'll have some other conversations with people and with Jesus that's going to make this walk more alive for you. But do you ever get the feeling there's just a change in the wind and you can't quite put your finger on what it is yet? Well, that's kind of where I'm at. I feel like after a number of years of doing this, of doing the writing, of doing live stream, of doing a lot of things that we've done, I feel like there's a change in the wind, and I can't even tell you what that change is going to be or even if it's going to be noticeable to you. But I know it's going to impact me. Part of that has to do with the discussions I've having for the last 6 months with various older brothers trying to say, what is it that we do that's going to help best advance God's work in the world? Not just what Wayne wants to do or what advances Wayne's writing or whatever, but what is it that Wayne can do in this season? I'm approaching 60. Next year I hit the big 6-0, and I'm kind of saying, what is it that I do in this last fruitful season of my life that leaves the best impression of God's work in the world, not about me, but about him? And how can we encourage others to that journey? And how can we equip others to help others to that journey? And that's been kind of the conversations I've been having for 6 months. There's been some of that reality settling in. I think I kind of see some things I haven't seen before, but I'm not ready to talk about them yet. Also, some of you have known Sarah is going through a bit of a transition in her life, which if Sarah's going through a bit of a transition in hers, it means I'm going through one in mine. I think one of the best gifts that a spouse gives to the other spouse, especially people who are on a journey, who are looking for God to make changes in our lives and looking for God to keep doing His work in us. When Sarah changes and when Sarah goes through one of those times of God doing something deep in her, you know what? It also invites me into a season of change to accommodate that, to affirm that, to be in it with her. And that's, I've joked for a long time about the pre-94 Sarah and the post-96 Sarah, and they're not all the same woman. Well, now around here, we're talking about Sarah 3.0, because what Sarah's gone through over the last year, more specifically, late spring this year, early summer, and still going through, quite frankly, this process is still ongoing, but God, Sarah's been finding some incredible freedom in her life that we didn't even know she needed. We didn't know that some of this stuff needed to be dealt with, especially the way God has chosen to deal with it. And He's done it in such a way and affirmed it in such a way. We know this isn't about us. It's not something we were doing. It wasn't change Sarah was looking for. It was just God withdrawing some grace from a coping mechanism that Sarah had been using all her life, even unknown to herself, and inviting her out of where that contains her into a place of greater freedom. And man, I've had to move with her. I've been part of this process with her, as well as needing to discover for myself, how do I love Sarah now at this stage of her journey? And knowing I want nothing more than for the rest of Sarah's life, for her to know all the freedom and all the joy that God wants to pour into that little girl. And I'm excited to be on this journey with her, and it's caused me, honestly, to discover some things about love and what loving is that has set me free. And I'm you know, I'm not really talk about all that stuff yet, and I know some of you are saying, wow, it's really special. Maybe it's not the specifics of what's going on in Sarah and me that's important. It's simply this: God's opened a door to healing for her. And that's been through some pain, but she's willingly embraced what God's doing, and it's challenging her in some wonderful ways. And it evoked for me the need to participate with her in this, and for me to see Sarah in a different way and to learn a different way of loving. And I don't know, the different way is, well, what is that? We want to know what that is. And I think Sarah says someday she wants to talk about it on a podcast, so I think we're going to get that chance at some point. But right now, it's something that she's still in the middle of and doesn't even know how it's fully going to sort out, and I don't either. I'm just pleased as punch to be in this thing with her. I have never been able, or never had the opportunity, I guess, to be so deeply inside someone else's transformation and be there as a support and a love, and then have that work back on me so that, yeah, I'm changing too. There's stuff in me that's getting addressed to help Sarah be who Sarah needs to be, and honestly, to help Wayne live as a more healthy human being on the planet. So all that's really good. Not sure where that's leading. Still in the middle of it. And because of those things, we've just felt like it's time. I have felt like it's time. I'm just going to take a break. The last 2 weeks, I've shared with us some conversations I've had with others that I had those in the file for a bit. So I thought I'm gonna get those in because I think they're valuable things. About the time you hear this, Sarah and I will just be coming back from a 2-week vacation. And I didn't want to come back and jump right into a podcast and have to figure out content. And really, with what God's stirring in my heart and saying that something's changing and I don't know what it is yet, I just wanted to take some time away, and I don't have a sense yet of how long that'll be. That could be 2 or 3 weeks. It could be 2 or 3 months. I really don't have an idea. I suspect we'll be back here. There's more conversations I want to have. There's things that I think this podcast can do to help encourage people on the journey. So please don't think it's we're going through a horrible, painful time here, and we may never come back to this. We will come back when God nudges us towards it, when it's fun again, when there's things to talk about and share and do that help stimulate other people's journeys. And I'm excited. In fact, there's things that I have in mind for that. But we also felt like there was a need to create some space in our perceiving what's next and not being so quick to keep doing what we've always been doing, that we can't step back and say, God, if you're changing all of that or changing the direction of it or just changing our heart underneath it, whatever it is, I want to give a full set of space to that. So that's what we're doing. And I just didn't want you to kind of keep coming to the podcast page wondering what happened to the God Journey. We're just taking a break and have every reason to think we'll be back sometime in the near future and continue to have some of the conversations we'll be having. But before I do that, and I'd like to ask particularly some of you who are longtime listeners to the God Journey, because here's part of the conversation I want to have when we pick this up someday. And so take it as a homework assignment. You can work on it too and add to the dialogue and the comment section of the blog would be great. And that is, what does it mean to live loved? What does love even mean? I was teaching at a camp recently, and someone came up to me that was, you know, I'm talking about the father of affection, and came up to me afterwards saying, you know, I think this whole God as a lover thing just really trivializes the majestic God of the universe. And I thought, well, that's an interesting comment, because there's nothing about my journey learning to live loved by the Father that has trivialized him at all. Believe me, I know when the Father is expressing his love to me and expressing his care and concern for my life, I have no illusions that this presence in my life is just my chummy little buddy. This is the God who made heaven and earth. His desire to be related to me is what makes this happen. This was his desire. His desire was to know us intimately and to walk with us. And I don't think love diminishes that at all, but it kind of points up for me, we may not have a good understanding about what love is. And then Sarah and I were reading a book together, part of our journey right now. We've been reading Brené Brown's The Gift of Imperfection. Brené, we've used some of her stuff on here before, and we've talked about some of her books before. Someone gave us a copy of The Gifts of Imperfection, and it's been kind of right down the lines of things God's been dealing with in Sarah and me. So we've been reading it together and having delightful conversations about it. In one of the chapters, she mentioned talking about love and trying to figure out what love is and realizing there isn't a good definition out there for a working definition for love. And so everyone who has the word, uses the word, is their own idea of what it is to love and be loved. And for some people, love is a mamby-pamby, warm, fuzzy. And so when they apply it to God, that's all they see. Well, for me, love is such a more fully orbed reality than just a warm, fuzzy, being nice, letting you do whatever you want. To me, that has nothing to do with love. So I've been trying to pull my thoughts together as to what I think love is. And I've got some things here that I'm going to read to you in a moment, but I'd really love for some of you to think with me on this if you want to. What does love mean to you? How would you define it? How would you define, if we know what love is because Jesus came, and which is 1 John's language, we know love by this, not that we loved God, but that he first loved us. So if he's the definition of love, what does love look like? Not only for how I receive it from him, that's really important to me, but even more important, how do I love Sarah the way God loves me? And how do I love the next person I'm with, the next person I sit with on an airplane or the next whatever. How do I love them? What does love really mean, and how does love grow into a reality? Because it isn't just a commitment to somebody. I think I heard that most of my life, and people joked about sloppy agape and almost in demoralizing terms, love's just a commitment. But no, it's not. My love for Sarah is not just a commitment. It's a passion, an appreciation, an affection. It's so much bigger than I'm committed to Sarah. I love her. I enjoy moments in her presence. And so here's the definitions. I'm really three bullet points about love that I want to explore. And if you want to add to these, change these, edit these, let's have a discussion on the God Journey comment section of this particular podcast and see if we can kind of hammer out a working definition of what love is. Here's what I'm starting with. First bullet point, a wholehearted concern for someone's ultimate good. A wholehearted concern for someone's ultimate good, even at great personal cost. Okay? Wholehearted concern for someone's ultimate well-being, even at great personal cost. Second one, a delighted affection for another, without the need to control or manipulate. I enjoy being with you. I this affection of delight to be in your presence, and that delight not having to control you or manipulate you or get what I think I want or need from you. And so that's the second. The third is and I think this is how it lives out, a growing, ongoing engagement of knowing and being known. An ongoing engagement, conversation, knowing and being known, both for her and for me. So those are the three things I've kind of bulleted out. What do you think? Those work for you? Do you have some other thoughts you could add to that? And I'm really excited because this, to me, if we can get down to an understanding of what love is, then we get in the conversation of how do we experience that and how do we help others experience and how do we share that out of our lives. So if you want to think about that, you can, and have some fun with that. And we'll then sort out whatever else God's doing in us before we kind of get back to doing these podcasts. As I said, I don't expect that to be a long time. I'm going to make a trip to Canada, Ontario, and Quebec City in September. And then I've got a trip to Germany and Switzerland coming up in November. That's even all the travel I have planned. I have lots of invitations here, so I have lots of places I could go. But I feel like everything's just going to slow down for a little bit, other than meeting those two things I committed to a while back, and seeing how God sorts out this journey in us. And so I'm excited. I don't even think it's a heavy time, and Sarah and I need lots of prayer, and we're just going through a horror. This is the best time of our life. We have had more fun in the last, oh my gosh, couple of months. We said about the Paris trip we got to have while I was over in France and Ireland. Sarah and I had 3 days, just us in Paris. And coming away from that, going, those are the three best days we've ever had. And there are reasons for that. Not Paris, really. We didn't go to a lot of touristy things. We didn't see a lot of stuff. We just walked the cities and talked and sat in cafes and ate. And we connected in a way that I'm shocked. After 37 years of marriage, I didn't know there was this place in marriage that has taken Sarah and I to a different reality with each other, conversation about our journeys, being inside each other's transformations. And I've said to people, it's like we were in this beautiful cave, this diamond mined cave with jewels and stalactites and stalagmites. And Sarah and I, 37 years, have wandered around the beauty of this and have enjoyed it. And then we went through this time this spring that we'll talk about more maybe up the road, where it seems like everything was being compressed. And it just seemed like what we had known wasn't working. And it was incredibly awkward for us. And we didn't have an idea yet that God was doing something in Sarah that was transformative, and that God had removed grace from a coping mechanism that she didn't even know she had. But just because he wanted to set her free in a way that, but when that coping mechanism fell apart, she didn't know how to deal with life or even me in that. And so our relationship seemed at risk. And we came out of that season, and it's just like I've said to people, it's like we were compressed into this small place. And then suddenly we were out in this field of flowers and meadows and lakes and mountains, and all of a sudden, Sarah and I are re-exploring each other. 37 years of what I thought was an incredible marriage to start with. Now we're finding that we're not even close to the end of what God wants us to experience and know about each other. And so we're exploring this whole new arena and excited to see what comes of it, though we don't have a clue. So don't think we're in a painful thing. We're really not. We're enjoying what God's doing. And we're looking forward to what's next. And as that becomes clearer, we'll be back here. The God Journey will show up in your iPod or iPhone or on your computer screen. And we'll be back to have some other conversations and to share with you where God's heading us in the future. And I'm sitting here kind of like, gosh, I hope you're not thinking I'm being coy. I honestly don't know how this is going to sort out. But we're going to give it the space to find out and not just stay busy about the things that we've always done, because God may want us doing something entirely different. And we look forward to that with incredible anticipation. And hopefully, we'll be back in your iPhone sometime soon.
By visiting our website, thegodjourney.com.